Friends, the first reading and the gospel today are all about how to do the good. Morality, the goodness of human acts. And today, in our day and age, there's a number of great misunderstandings about what Christian morality really is. I'm going to give you three of them this morning that we hear often in our contemporary church atmosphere. The first one is the idea that sociology trumps God's law. That sociology trumps God's law. It's the sense of, yes, the church gives us principles and teaching, but it's always subject to revision. That as we learn more about our human condition, studies, surveys, sociology, all kinds of inquiry, that this somehow means that God's moral laws actually have been faulty or deficient and need to be changed. There are leaders in the church, especially in Europe, who are pushing for the teaching of the church to be changed in the catechism, especially on the topic of homosexual acts and their morality. The idea that the biblical image of married love between man and woman being the expression of how God desires the family to live is just one of many, many variants. There's many, many different ways that God's love is imaged through the gift of sexuality. And we need to change just because sociology has now shown this to the church. Now this has been revealed to us by the world instead of by the Lord. It's really the taking apart of any absolute moral norms. If sociology trumps God's law, then really we can never say anything definitively about what's always good or always wrong, because we might discover something new next week. But this is not true. The second misunderstanding that we hear often is that grace is not enough. God's grace is not enough to sustain the Christian moral life. Life is hard. Life's circumstances are hard. People have many, many challenges. People grow up with trauma, with all kinds of things they deal with. And the idea is that because these things are so great, the church can't actually ask her people to be chaste as they grow up. The church can't possibly ask husbands and wives to live the gospel of life and not to contracept their married love. Because life is hard. How can we ask something so much of someone? But this neglects the fact that grace is a power given to us by God to live his law. It's not just our human effort. Grace actually strengthens us. And though it may be hard to live the moral life in Christ, grace is a power that has no limit. And we can grow in that. We can actually live the laws that God gives us. The third misunderstanding is that God's mercy is opposed to Christ's discipleship. That God's mercy is opposed to Christ's discipleship. God is merciful, and thank God. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. And when he sees us in our sin, he does not turn his face away, but beckons us back to him, beckons us back to his love. And God's mercy can forgive any sin and every sin. And we want to be people of mercy and people of grace. But God's mercy invites us back into his fellowship, not to living life how we always have, but at the same time invites us to follow Jesus as his disciple. And Christ's demands of discipleship are great. He actually demands that we convert and give our lives to him, that we receive the gift of God's mercy and don't just walk away and think, okay, I've got heaven in my back pocket, nothing else I got to do. But that mercy is actually an invitation and a gift that spurs us on to saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you and live a different way. Why? Because your grace is enough for me. Your grace is sufficient. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to follow you because I've been set free from sin by God's mercy. Now I have the ability to go where you lead me, to live as you live, not as I used to live, but as you live, your life can now be in me. So often in the contemporary church, we hear that God's mercy simply forgives us, but we stay where we're at. We just kind of drift through life and don't actually have the calling to change our lives and behaviors. But this is not true. God's mercy and following Christ are two parts of the same whole. They're two sides of the same coin. To follow Christ means that we have acknowledged God's mercy for us, and to be forgiven by God is an invitation to follow Jesus and all the demands that come with that. To live the commandments, to live the Beatitudes, to love our neighbor, to be generous, not to be selfish. All the teachings the church gives us for our Christian moral life. If we can keep ourselves free from falling into these traps, we actually become an evangelizing church. A lot of the world would say, you know what, if the church would just get rid of these commandments and these teachings, like, they would have so many people come through the doors. They'd have a brand new church because, you know, get rid of some of the stuff in the Middle Ages. But that's exactly the opposite of what would happen. Because when Christians live out the fullness of Christian morality, what happens in Deuteronomy happens for us. That people around will notice the goodness of the Lord, and they'll say, this is a great people, truly wise and intelligent. Who knew that God could be so close to human beings? Living a moral life in Christ has a beauty and a radiance and a goodness all of its own that the world cannot generate. We actually need to draw closer to the church's moral teaching to be more faithful in living it out, and that will evangelize the world. They will see the goodness of Christ in the behavior and the human acts of the church's people, and that will draw people on to want the source of that, to want the giver of that goodness. Let's ask today in this Lenten Wednesday the grace to live God's law, to receive God's mercy, and to be evangelists.